This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 307. What are you guys doing? Let's go. Get up. Why not? If I can't sleep, you can't sleep. That's how it works. If you listen to me later in the day like normal people on the Odyssey app, thank you very much. We've started off with a lot of football. Aaron Rodgers is going to get to baseball in a second. And that's not a... I'm just having fun. But that's a great Cashman. We were so damn good that we couldn't add a starting pitcher. And now we're desperate for one. And we'll get to that in a second. I want to take another call from Matt on the Aaron Rodgers situation, which I just don't understand. Like, I really don't understand. I don't know how anyone's against this. There are things where I could see the both sides of the argument. I'm not one of these guys, although if you ask my wife, she'll tell you something different. I'm not one of these guys who always thinks they're right. Now, it's my job to come off as confident, a little, you know, backstage radio. I have to come off confident, and sometimes that can be cocky, and sometimes that could sound know-it-all-ish. It's part of the business. But I'm not one of these guys who just thinks they're right all the time, or that there's no plausible reason to think otherwise. I might, you know, I'm a Cashman guy. I'm a Cashman shill. I'm a Yankee shill. I'm an Aaron Boone shill. Doesn't mean I won't tell you that there's merit in the argument that Boone hasn't done a good job at certain points, or, you know. But this one I don't understand. I have to be honest. I have a real hard time understanding why anyone wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback of the New York Giants. Now, along with the draft pick. Because that's what I'm pushing. I think that's what they want. Now, they can't guarantee they get that quarterback. They would have to trade up to guarantee it. Maybe one of them falls to three. Maybe one of them doesn't. Maybe they take a Jackson Dart. Or a Milroe. Or whomever in the second round, or trade back up into the first, whatever. But for me, it's got to have a quarterback with a premium pick attached to him, preferably a first-round pick attached to him. I want Cam Ward. And then Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know how you can tell me, again, look at the options. If that's the route they're going, give me the option. The only other option really to me is just start Cam Ward from day one. Bring in a Jacoby Brissett. Have him be the backup, or bring in a Jameis Winston and make him the backup and play Cam Ward from day one. That's the only other option that is even feasible to me, that you could make an argument, a discussion, anything other than Aaron Rodgers is the best option for the New York Giants. Like, look around. Who's the better option? There isn't one. He's the best option. Oh, he's washed up. He can't play anymore. Okay, if that's the case, A washed-up Aaron Rodgers last year was still better than any other player available right now. And if he's washed up and can't play, they'll just go to the young quarterback. Like, no one is saying that this is the quarterback of the future and we expect to go compete for a championship with Aaron Rodgers over the next 2 or 3 years. Like, that's not what this is. That's what Matthew Stafford would have been. This is a one-year deal to be the quarterback while the organization's in transition to go to the next quarterback. Like, I have a real hard time understanding how anyone's against this. Let's see how Matt in Belleville feels about it. What's up, Matt?
Hey, good morning, C-Mac. By the way, you have gotten way better since you started day one. So big props. Keep it up.
I guess I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
No, you're really good, bro. You were really good with Craig Clown and the boys, too, but it gotten better.
Oh, thank you.
And don't hang up when I just say this little comment. I am a Brett and Long Island fan. I hate to say it, he is a great heel character.
Yeah.
He's a great heel character. You're the baby face. It is compelling radio. I stop what I'm doing. I'm driving to my shop, right? And I stop what I'm doing just to hear that 5-10 minute dialogue.
Listen, there's the he's on the show. A fan of anyone who is on the show is a fan of the show. So that's perfectly fine with me. You could be a fan of Brett in Long Island. That's perfectly fine.
We should start a fan club, but no, don't hang up on me. I'm joking.
Just join one of his 11 social media groups, and you can interact with the man himself. You can get rid of me, the middleman, and to go directly to Brett.
I think I would need Dr. Phil after that. But the Aaron Rodgers thing, between him and Russell Wilson, I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers because he's already at that point in his career that he's ready to groom a new quarterback. And you said it a couple of nights ago, as long as they pick up a quarterback in the draft, and it's a crapshoot. It is a crapshoot. So I think Aaron Rodgers at that stage of his life that he wants to groom somebody. He wants to leave out on a positive note. You know?
Yeah.
So I give him, I'm in agreement with you that, bring in Aaron Rodgers. But this morning I woke up and I saw on the internet, I'm like, wait a minute, did he sign with Pittsburgh? And I guess it was an AI or whatever it was. And I called you guys in Fleek, said no, he didn't sign with Pittsburgh.
He has so not there's signed something with going Pittsburgh, around. No. Thank you for the call, Matt. And the longer it goes, the more confident I am that there's, momentum building towards the Giants. It felt very strong. Like, it's one of these things. It's a lot like the Pete Alonso saga. Like, a week ago, I shouldn't even say a week ago, Sunday, it felt like all the momentum was building towards Aaron Rodgers being a Giant. That's what it felt like. He reached out to the Giants. The Giants are interested. The Steelers might be going back to either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. Minnesota could possibly be signing Sam Darnold back, plus they've got J.J. McCarthy. Like, the Raiders, there wasn't really much noise there. They were heavy on the Matthew Stafford bit. Like, it just felt like he reached out to the Giants. Giants, he's already lived here. He wants to stick it to the Jets. Blah, blah, blah. It just felt like momentum was building towards the Giants. Then, of course, the Geno Smith trade happened, the trade that rocked the world. There will be documentaries made about the trade that rocked the world. I mean, I can't help but laugh at that. I don't know why that cracks me up. And again, maybe I'm just reading too much into tweets and being, following this stuff too closely because of what we do. But it just felt like that was like, whoa, Geno Smith just got traded to the Raiders. And suddenly, man, this whole quarterback room got twist turned upside down. And then it became we were waiting on Daniel Jones to figure out the rest of it. That's how it started, with Geno Smith getting traded, and it ended with Daniel Jones picking the Colts. Which I think that's a good move. We haven't really talked about that. And again, I wish Daniel Jones the best. He was a good Giant, not a very good player, but he was a good guy. He did everything that was asked of him. And as much as I don't think he's very good and I don't see much success, anywhere, really. Maybe some, but not sustained or legitimate success. The Giants did everything to ruin the poor kid. Like, I have no misconceptions of how badly the organization failed him. That is still, both can be true. I don't think Daniel Jones is all that good, and the organization completely screwed him. I mean, completely did, hired a bunch of morons around him, like, without, and never built an offensive line. Totally true. Totally true. But I do think it was the right move for him as opposed to picking Minnesota. I know Minnesota's got the better offense, the better coach. He went there for a reason to learn that offense. They liked him in the building. But he's not good enough to hold off a top draft pick. He's just not. Eventually, they're going to go to the J.J. McCarthy. I just he's got a chance in the with the Colts to either beat out Richardson or Richardson's inability to stay healthy. Like I know J.J. McCarthy's coming off a knee injury and might not start the year, but they're going to go to him. They're going to go to him. And I'll tell you this: if Anthony Richardson can't beat out. Like, they have a real problem if he can't beat out Daniel Jones. If Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback for the Colts next season, I mean, that's a disaster. That's a disaster. But so he went to the Colts. That opens. Now we know that he's leaves up Aaron Rodgers to either Minnesota or the Pittsburgh Steelers. Clearly, those are two better options. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. But I think the Giants are a pretty damn good option. And as we wait, the longer it goes, it, like I said, it's like the Pete Alonso thing. It was all on the Giants. Then it was all on Pittsburgh. Then it was all, well, that, first it was all on Minnesota when the Geno Smith trade happened because Geno Smith moves to Vegas. Obviously, that sets up Sam Darnold going to Seattle. And that would open up the Viking job. And everybody felt like, well, I mean, they, you know, they've got a great quarterback. He knows the division. That's the most talented team offensively. They just won, you know, 14 games last year. And then that's kind of waned, and that went strictly to Pittsburgh. And then it was Pittsburgh and the Giants. And now as we wait, and I know it's only been a day, but these things happen. Look at what's gone on in the rest of the NFL. These things get announced. I know he's still a Jet technically, but these things get announced quickly. And I would expect it today. And if it doesn't come today, I think the more and more it goes on, the more and more faith I would have that it's the New York Giants. And again, I, as I open the show, a little bit Aaron Rodgers, a little bit New York Giants and all the moves they've made, I think the Giants are a viable. I think the Giants with Aaron Rodgers are a good football team. Not a great football team, not even a playoff football team. I know the strength of schedule is impossible. The home games are extremely tough. They play in a tough division. They're playing arguably the two best teams in the NFC four times this year. So I have no misconceptions about the ultimate end goal of the New York Giants. I'm just saying they did a lot to help this defense. And I do think Malik Nabers is the truth. I think we all do. I think Andrew Thomas being back helps the offensive line immensely. And I think Aaron Rodgers is a good enough quarterback, even today. I'm not talking about Hall of Fame, you know, four-time MVP Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking about 3,900 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions Aaron Rodgers from last year. If he puts up those numbers with the New York Giants, with this defense and this team, I think they can win some games. Matt in Wall Township. What's up, Matt?
Hey, good morning, Chris. Thanks
good morning,
for taking
sir.
My
How
call.
Are you? You got it, buddy. What's
good
up?
Good morning. Always working, and I was talking to your screener. I always talk to Richard Neer, and I talk to others. You know, I'm gearing up for insomnia, to, you know, with a baby on the way in late June. So
well, good
my
luck.
Hours will be
congratulations and good luck. Yes,
thank
the sleeping
you.
The sleeping patterns are very tough. There is no doubt about that.
Sleeping will be a luxury pretty soon,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it will be.
I'm a Jet fan. I'm a longtime Jet fan. But I obviously am a new school Jet fan. You know, the old school Jet fan used to hate the Giants. And I'd pull for the Giants. I just believe that if you're going to take a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders and hitch your wagon to one of those guys, you have to be really convinced that they're the guy. I think Shane and Dable are, I mean, they, everybody knows that they're on the hot seat and their job is on the line, which is why, and Rodgers is, could be the best veteran option. And if you don't get him, I do think plan B should really be, from a veteran standpoint, I would take Winston over Russell Wilson because I do trust the opinions of the Legion of Boom and everybody else. If everything what they were saying was true about his lack of communication. You have to get to his manager and talk to him, whatever.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that trying to pry Rodgers away from the free agent market is the right move for them. You know, I personally don't really know much about Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders,
yeah,
especially from a prospect standpoint. You know, I think they're both good kids from what we know, never
yes.
in trouble. You know, I but my plan B, honestly, would actually be Winston over Wilson. And, you know, people don't realize that Winston's actually only 31 years old. And
right.
Geno Smith is 34, and he resurrected his career. So if you talk about Winston finding a job and finds his way,
yeah,
you know, you're talking that, you know, being Geno Smith 2.0 in a sense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
And if you got the right...
Someone's
got to
deliver.
Him.
Yeah, someone's got to deliver him from pick sixes. I mean, that's the only thing. And Matt, I agree with you. And congratulations on the upcoming baby. Good luck with that. I would just say I said the same thing yesterday. I said the exact same thing yesterday. Now I preface it with the quarterback. I think you need to draft the quarterback. If they're not drafting a quarterback, I almost don't even care. I got to be totally honest with you. If they're not drafting the quarterback, I still think Aaron Rodgers is the best option to win football games this year. But I won't even care who the quarterback is if there's not a legitimate first or second round pick, right? I want it to be the first. I want it to be Cam Ward. Then I want it to be Shedeur Sanders. Then I want it to be either Jackson Dart or whomever in the first round. That's what I want. I want them to take a first round pick. Give them the fifth year option. That's what I want. But even if it's a second-round pick, like it's got to be either a first- or a second-round pick quarterback so you know that they're committed to them along with the veteran quarterback. Because if there's not that pick, then I really don't care who the quarterback is because they're not good enough to win-win. And none of these quarterbacks, to me, are the future. They're just not. They're not the future. So I won't even care whether it's Winston or Wilson. I won't even care. But if there is the quarterback, I do agree with you, and I said this yesterday, I would take, my plan B would be Winston over Russell Wilson as well. I think he's better for the room. I think he's better for developing the young quarterback. I do think his act wears thin, and I don't even want to call it an act, but his what he has to say, and it becomes preachy after a while. But I think initially... and he'll come in and sling it. That's my favorite part about it, is I think while he mentors and learns the offense and talks to the young quarterback and tells them the trials and tribulations, I mean, this is the, you know, he's the number one overall pick. He's dealt with that pressure before. So he can impart that wisdom on the young quarterback, dealing with the pressure of being the top pick in the draft, dealing with the pressure of what comes with that, you know, and he's also been the veteran looking for a job. Like he's been on a bunch of different teams, worked with a bunch of different players, worked with a bunch of different coaches, learned a lot. Like I just think it's a good option as the mentor. Plus, I know Malik Nabers is going to have a big year because they are going to sling it. He is going to throw it. They have tried. Daniel Jones was incapable of it. No one wants to say this. I don't know why no one wants to say this, but Daniel Jones was incapable of throwing the ball down the field. Incapable. I actually think his arm and his skill set, what I thought watching him year one, was actually suited to throwing the ball down the field. But by the end of it, whether it's because the organization ruined him, because he got injured, because he didn't trust the offensive line, because he was just, you know, messed up mentally, whatever the case may be, eventually Daniel Jones got to the point where he couldn't throw the ball down the field. Tyrod Taylor came in and threw the ball down the field. They had some explosive plays. Now, they didn't win any football games. I'm not trying to tell you he came in and it was night and day as far as the quality of the team, but it was better. The offense was better with Tyrod Taylor, and they threw the ball down the field. I do think that's what Brian Daboll would like to do. I think that's what he would like to do. You saw it even in the camp. Like last year, camp, he's throwing the ball down the field. That was the talk. One of the major talking points of camp is how Daniel Jones and Malik Nabers and Slayton, they are throwing the ball down the field. And then the season started, and it never happened. And I promise you, if you watch the old 22s and you watch some of the routes run and you see, like, there was ability and play calls designed to throw the ball down the field, he was incapable of it. Jameis Winston will throw the ball down the field. He'll turn the ball over. He'll make you scratch your head. But he will put up offensive numbers, and Malik Nabers will develop, and Malik Nabers will have a monster year. I'd rather at least go in knowing that. I don't know what Russell Wilson gives you. He won't turn the ball over as much. He'll manage the games more. But I can't guarantee he'll win games more. I can't, and I know for a fact he won't put up the same passing yards. Like, I know he won't. Jameis Winston will come in there and throw the football around. I'd rather take that. 888-808-1019. We'll come back, talk a little baseball. Brian Cashman met the media yesterday. Had a couple of things to say that jump out at me. One, Marco just played at the update. The other one, just the basic information about where the Yankees are with this roster, where the Yankees are with their payroll, and where the Yankees are with helping this team that has been decimated by injuries this spring.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Training.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cone in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:31. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So Brian Cashman did meet with the media yesterday to talk about the team and obviously dealing with the devastating injury of Gerrit Cole missing the entire season due to Tommy John. And again, I'm concerned. I saw one video, one podcast where a doctor was concerned about all of next year, too. There are two different kinds of, this is slightly off topic, but it's on the forefront of my mind, worrying about Cole for the next 2 years, because they have these two different kinds of Tommy John. There's the full regular Tommy John we've all grown up knowing and loving. And then there's this somewhat recent new version that this Dr. Alatras does that's kind of a bracing. I couldn't tell you the difference. You know, again, I'm not Aaron Rodgers. I can't speak eloquently on these kind of things. But there's some sort of difference where the timetable is not as long of a recovery. We still don't know which one he's had. Like, I guess Brian Cashman in the interview, and I haven't seen a report. Now, Brian Cashman said in the interview that we won't know until after the surgery. Maybe it's one of those things where they open him up and get a better look at it and then decide which version of the surgery they're going to perform. But Brian Cashman said that in the interview, and I haven't seen anything reported since on which one Gerrit Cole had. But he did say that we won't know until after the surgery which one of the surgeries he had. One is a straight year and the other one can be up to 16 months, half a year and a half. And if it's the full Tommy John and a 36-year-old starting pitcher, you know, needs a year and a half recovery, what's a year and a half from right now? September? Maybe August? I mean, you're talking about the idea of possibly, with the timing of this, losing Cole for two seasons, which is devastating. And I know we want to talk about, and here's a thing I'll push back on, because the Yankees did have an opportunity, I suppose. I saw people, there was confusion on how the contract was handled last year. Or, I'm sorry, in this offseason, where he opted out and then kind of pulled it back and they came to the same agreement. Buster only did report that the Yankees did have the opportunity to walk away completely. And here's what I'll say. Yeah. And I saw Boomer put out a thing. They should have walked away. It would have been the smartest thing. And sure, right now he had Tommy John surgery. How could you not say letting him walk would have been the better idea? I'll push back on it a little bit, because yes, it counts for the salary cap. And this is the big thing. Yes, it counts against the salary cap, or against, I shouldn't, the Yankees treat it like a salary cap, but it's not a salary cap. It's a luxury tax. His contract will still count against the luxury tax, but they're getting 80% of the money back through insurance. So, like, yeah, if he misses 2 years, there's no way, obviously, he should have left. And I'm not even saying they shouldn't avoid that it was the right thing to do to bring him back. I'm just saying, right now, this year, it's $9 million to have Cole on your team. And if he's back and pitching in the postseason next year and healthy, you don't want Cole back? Like, letting him go and not having him for the next, if he's back next year halfway through the year and he pitches through August, September, and he's there for the postseason, like, and this year it's only costing you $9 million and then whatever else on the loan, you're getting that money back for the New York Yankees, and they should be reinvesting that money. It's not a disaster to still have Cole on the team. Would they have been better off letting him go? I guess. But also at the same time, in a year from now or a year and a half from now, as they're getting ready, hopefully with a bunch more money spent and Tucker on the team and Vladimir Guerrero on the team and Murakami, whatever his name is, in Japan coming here, you know, after the Yankees spend their, you know, $750 million in payroll next year and a favorite to win the World Series, as they head for the postseason, I think I'm going to be happy that Gerrit Cole is a member of the team. I'm not ready to just say, man, they really blew it not letting him go. I understand that point. I can't push too hard against it. All I'm saying is right now, he's going to make $9 million this year. The Yankees are getting that money back, and they should be willing to reinvest it. And that's what's bothering me today, as we heard from Brian Cashman. Because I agree with what a lot of Brian Cashman said. I don't necessarily put it at the feet of Brian Cashman, because this is about the owner. Now, you could argue it's the mismanagement by Brian Cashman that leads to a $300 million payroll with holes in the team. Yes, I agree with that. Right, how could you not? He's the one who puts the team together. They're $300 million. I mean, Cole's a pretty damn good pitcher. He got hurt. Luis Gil was the rookie of the year. He got hurt. Giancarlo Stanton, when they traded for him, they gave up nothing to get the MVP off of a year where they went to Game 7 of the ALCS. That's a Yankee move. People say, oh, when was the last time the Yankees, the Yankees haven't been the Yankees. They went to Game 7 of the ALCS and traded for the National League MVP. That's not being the Yankees. They lost in 19, Game 6, against the Houston Astros. They turned around and gave Gerrit Cole the biggest starting pitcher contract in history and stole away the Astros ace. That's not being the Yankees. Today, Brian Cashman didn't sound like the New York Yankees, and that's my main issue. And if you listen to Brian Cashman today, he said a bunch of different things, and let's start with the things I agree with. One, there aren't a lot of options right now for the starting pitching. Like, that's the question, because they lost Cole. They've lost Luis Gil for half the year at the least. Hopefully that's it. And so it's like, what are you going to do? How are we going to impact this rotation? What are you going to do? Let's go trade for Sandy Alcantara. Let's go do this. The Dylan Cease is still available. Go trade for this one. Go trade for that one. Go give up, you know, I don't, people think you can give up, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera and go get Sandy Alcantara. You have to give up Jason Dominguez and, you know, let's start with Jason Dominguez, who I saw again, you know, a ball landed down the line. And so, of course, here we go. He can't play left. But, like, that you're starting with him and probably Spencer Jones. You're talking about trading for one of the better young pitchers in the sport. What do you think you're going to get? What do you think you're going to have to give up? Like, right now, I agree with Brian Cashman. There aren't a lot of options in the pitching market, right? And I get that. And some of the free agent options, whether it's Kyle Gibson or Lance Lynn or whatever, like, those aren't exciting options that make me feel better. Hell, do you even feel confident those guys step into the rotation as it's presently constituted? Will Warren is better an option for me than any of those guys. Now, you want some depth? Sure. But there really isn't anything to do to impact this rotation. There really isn't. This is the rotation, and I'm fine with it. I am. I still think it's a good rotation. It's still one of the better rotations. Luis Gil is coming back. I feel okay with where the starting pitching is. It was their strength. It was a force. It was the best in the American League. It was what was going to carry them to a division title and a World Series appearance. That's gone. I'd be a fool to not tell you that has evaporated. But the idea that they're awful, look at what happened last year. We were in the same spot. The rotation sucks. Gerrit Cole's down for half the year. What are they going to do to make an impact? How do they fix the rotation? And they had the best rotation in baseball for the first half. They had the second lowest ERA in all of baseball in the first half. Let's let things play out. The pitching is still not where I'm focused. Where I'm focused is the offense, because that's where the holes are, and that's where there are still options to go out and make an impact move. I still believe there are guys you can go sign. And I still will, until they do it, or until they officially tell you it's never happening, or until Nolan Arenado retires, I am going to scream about getting Nolan Arenado. But what bothered me about everything that Brian Cashman said was really one line. When asked about making these moves, the realities of the luxury tax penalties really inhibit us from doing anything further. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he said. The realities of the luxury tax penalties limit us from doing anything else. That is a bunch of crap. And that's not on Cashman. It's not on Cashman. We could say it's his fault that they're at this luxury tax hold with all these holes. That's fine. Conversation for a different day. This is about the owner of the New York Yankees. And we went over this yesterday. I don't know if it's a fact because I don't think the books are public record. But there was a report yesterday. The Yankees haven't disputed it. Not sure why they would, even if it weren't 100% accurate. But they haven't disputed it. That they made over $100 million, you know, last year for their playoff run. And they were up 36% in ticket sales. 36%. And we talk, and here's, you want the Yankee shill shot at the Mets? Because you got to give it the occasional shot at the Mets just to keep things fun and exciting and keep you on your toes. The owner of the New York Mets talks about how the attendance lags behind success. Well, the Yankees last year were coming off the worst season in 30 years. 82-80 didn't make the playoffs. They signed Juan Soto. But they were up 36% off of that year, off just the excitement of signing Juan Soto and what it could be. They were up 36% in ticket sales and suite sales, and they made an extra $100-plus million on their run to the World Series. To sit there and talk and be the mouthpiece for an organization and be there and stand, and again, I'm with you, Brian. The idea that we call Hal cheap is ridiculous. I'm with you. Cheap is the wrong word. Run like a small market. Small markets don't spend $300 million. Go look at the small markets and tell me what they spend. The Yankees aren't being run like a small market, and Hal isn't cheap. But man, oh man, if you are going to look the fan base in the face and tell them we've lost Giancarlo Stanton, we don't know when he's going to be back, both of his elbows have severe injuries, and there's still a chance of surgery which would end his year. Luis Gil is gone till July, and he's a pitcher, so who the hell knows? And Gerrit Cole is gone for the year and at least half of next year. And we just made $100 million on our way to the World Series, and we sold, and we were up 36% in ticket sales last year and made $400-plus million in ticket and suite sales last year. And then we're going to tell you, as we are going to recoup $27 million from the injury of Gerrit Cole, that we can't reinvest that money into the team because the luxury tax penalties are far too punitive. That is a bunch of BS. There is no reason in the world that the New York Yankees right now should not be willing to make a move. And here's the main difference. Here is the main difference about whether or not they should make a move now or whatever you think of Nolan Arenado. Nolan Arenado will be a salary dump. You do not have to give up prospects. You're going to have to eat some of his, you're going to have to take on more of his contract than you'd probably like. It's a money thing. That's it. It's money. And if we're going to talk about, which I agree with Brian Cashman when he says, things don't really start moving until after the draft. The draft is in June, late June. Then the trade deadline that's been announced is going to be July 31st, as it normally is. So from June to July 31st, that's when the trading window opens. Do you know what happens in the trading window? You know, maybe Nolan Arenado's still there for the salary dump, but if you're going to impact the team there, and if you're going to tell me, well, listen, there's really not a lot of movement until then, you're going to have to give up prospects. And I keep saying this, and I'll keep saying it, the trade deadline isn't the same as it used to be. More teams are still in it because of the added playoff. Less teams are selling. And I don't know what's going to be available to them. And quite honestly, and here's where I'll give them a break too. A lot of the team is filled with their best prospects. Dominguez is their starting left fielder. Wells is their starting catcher. Peraza might be in the infield at third base. Volpe. Like, Clark Schmidt. Like, a lot of the team is filled with their farm system. The farm system is there for two things. To fill up your major league roster and to allow you to make trades to acquire good players to fill up your major league roster. And over the course of the last few years, they have traded away a ton of their farm system to try and bolster a team during the deadline or to pick up a Juan Soto, which they traded King and some of their other top pitching prospects. And the other top prospects are now filling the roster to the point where they have like Lombard, Pereira, and Spencer Jones. That's it. And I don't think Brian Cashman is interested in moving those pieces for what's going to be available at the trade deadline, like this, you know, maybe shy of Tucker or Guerrero. But at the trade deadline, everybody is looking to improve their team. Half the league will be looking to improve their team at the trade deadline. And less than half the league will be willing to sell or have pieces that will suit the New York Yankees. Right now, they have an option to make a move that no one else seems to be interested in just for money. That won't impact their farm system. That you don't have to trade away key pieces for that right now, quite frankly, are limited in the organization. That's what bothers me. Because they don't have the prospects to treat this luxury tax like a cap. So please stop telling me that the ramifications of the penalties are too severe to improve this team because the team needs to be improved. And name me a better way to do it than with money. And you just got 27. I'll do the math for you. You just got $27 million for Cole. Now, if you're really going to be technical, they don't see that money until he misses 60 games. I believe that's the case after reading a few articles. Who the hell cares? You're going to get it eventually. You're getting $27 million. Whether you get it now, halfway through the year, at the end of the year, you're getting $27 million. I know with where you are at the luxury tax right now, every dollar spent puts you over, and it's double the, and it's the 100% tax. So that gives you $13 million. As far as I know, me and Fliegelman were looking at all the different variations of websites that give you where the Yankees' luxury tax is. Hal Steinbrenner himself said they're sitting at 304, and everything I've read is that any move they make has them already over the luxury tax and would cost them 100% tax. That means they're over 300 now. So don't give me the punitive damages that going over the luxury tax costs, whether it's the draft pick moving down 10 slots, or whether it's the international signing pool money, or whatever the case, besides just money out of Hal's pocket. Like, all of those things, as far as I understand it, and you can call me if I'm wrong, as far as I understand it, they're already over the final luxury tax, and all the penalties are there. So this is just about money. You're recouping $27 million. All the penalties you're talking about are still there. At the bare minimum, you should be willing to spend $13 million, which would be the $27 million because you're getting taxed at double that you're getting back from Cole. That should be the bare minimum you're willing to add. And guess what? Nolan Arenado, you could figure out a way to work that money down to about $15 million for this year. So you got to spend another $5 or $6 million on top of it. So what? Like, the New York Yankees are not cheap. The New York Yankees are not run like a small market team. But the New York Yankees absolutely are lying to you when they tell you $300 million payroll every year is not feasible. It most certainly is. And right now, they are being ridiculous treating this luxury tax as a salary cap. It is not. It is not. And if Cole were healthy and Stanton were healthy and Luis Hill were healthy, I would not be screaming about it. But they are not. And this is not a year to mess around with. You still have the best hitter in the planet. I don't know if I'll be able to say that next season. He'll be 34 next year. I still think I will be, but I don't know. I know they've got him right now. You have to be willing to spend a little bit to fix it. And what you got from Brian Cashman was A, the typical, we always joke about getting him back will be like acquiring him at the deadline. No doubt, that's what they say at the trade deadline, and not just the Yankees, but all teams. That's the cliche in baseball. And then the other cliche, and this is from the Yankees a lot, well, right now there's really not a lot of movement until after the draft. There's really no one to pick up. This time of year is tough to recover. This time of year. And I get it. There aren't a lot of options, pitching-wise. And again, I'm okay with the pitching. I'm not out there looking for starting pitching. I'll live with Cookie Carrasco. I'll live with Will Warren. I'll live with it. I still think it's pretty good, and the Yankees do better at this than they do at the other aspects of their team. This offense needs to be improved. If you were going to have a lesser, the whole reason we were okay, or at least I was, okay with the lineup and the pivots they made and the optimism of the offense and the team was because, yes, the offense will be down, but hey, the starting pitching is dominant. Hey, the back of the bullpen should be dominant. So you know what? We can live with an offense that's down a little bit. You can live with it. And hey, maybe Bellinger, who's having a great spring, by the way, maybe Bellinger reverts back to 2 years ago or even better and closer to his MVP form. Goldschmidt, who has gotten hot the last couple of games and is going the other way, hit an opposite field home run 2 days ago, hit an absolute bullet down the line to drive in a run yesterday. Maybe he can have a bounce back year. Volpe was great in the postseason. Maybe he carries that over. Dominguez is a power hitting, switch hitting, prospect who runs like a deer. Maybe he'll bring in, a different aspect to this team. Jazz all year. Wells was arguably the best offensive catcher in the sport the second half of the season. There is some reason to be optimistic. But we knew heading in that the offense was probably going to be a little bit down, and we lived with it because the pitching was going to be excellent. Now the pitching is just okay. I still think it's okay, and I still trust the Yankees to be okay. But they need to improve the offense. And I'm only screaming about it because there's an option staring them right in the face. And it's just about money. And if we're going to wait for the deadline, I have to admit, I'll defend them on why the prospects are down. I'll defend them why the farm system is ranked 24th out of 30. I'll defend them on those reasons. They made a bunch of trades, and a lot of the roster is filled with their best prospects. I'm fine with it. That you go through, it's the whole point is to fill it up, to fill up your roster. Eventually, you're going to go through cycles. Hopefully they're going to be in the process now of building it up. No need to fill the roster up with so much prospects. They'll spend some money next year. They have prospects throughout the team. They'll start to build up the farm system. Right now it's a little bit down. And come the trade deadline, good luck finding pieces. You're looking for salary dumps, buddy. If you're not willing to do it with money, then you better be willing to do it with prospects. And I'd rather do it with money.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.